Dancers have a lot to balance. From their pirouettes to their jumps, a dancer's performance is a direct result of hard work and motivation. So where does food fit into this? There's a lot of myths and a ton of antiquated ideals about what a dancer's diet should look like. And I'm here to dispel those. I'm Rachel Fine, registered dietitian nutritionist and founder of To The Point Nutrition. I'm the dance nutritionist, and I'm here to tell you that to be a successful dancer, you don't have to diet. Instead, I'll teach you how to use food as your best tool to enhance your performance. A nourishing meal plan not only fuels your dancing, but also enhances your strength, improves your balance, supports your flexibility, and most importantly, reduces your risk to injury.
Thank you so much for joining me tonight.
Thanks for having me.
Melissa, I'd love for you to give us an introduction. I want to hear more about your here and now, where you are. Well, I know where you are, but give us a nice introduction and fill us in on what you are currently working on.
Okay. So I grew up, I was born in Philadelphia. I grew up there. I trained there until I was 15. I moved to New York and I started training with Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis School, American Ballet Theatre School. I was there for two years, a year and a half there before I received a contract with Orlando Ballet. And I everyone's career path and training is different, but for me, I did jump at the chance to grab that second company contract and moved to Florida, moved to Orlando for 4 years. I spent 1 year in the second company and 3 with the main company. And then I felt that there was more to kind of explore for myself. And, it's just funny, like it's very cliche that like, oh, it feels like the right time to, explore and go find something, but it really did. Like for me, I just felt that it was time. And so I did back then we made DVDs and put them in manila envelopes with your resume and a headshot and photos, sent them out. And I ended up taking a couple audition classes and I took one with Cincinnati Ballet and something just told me it was like the right fit. Everything happened so quickly from the audition class to 12 hours later, I was talking about possible contract to 24 hours later signing. It was very fast, but it definitely felt like the right move. So that was, this is my 10th season with Cincinnati Ballet. So I joined as a new dancer rank. And I spent about 6 or 7 years moving up the ranks. And in 2018, I was given a principal contract. So I've been here with Cincinnati Ballets for 10 years. And we are actually kind of just started Nutcracker rehearsals. So we're deep into Nutcracker right now. Mm-hmm. We just finished a run of Jewels, and after Nutcracker, we will be jumping into Don Q. It's a very exciting season for us.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love hearing about your journey. I know that a lot of dancers who are really starting their professional careers, but not even just starting, perhaps even knee deep in their professional careers, 3, 4, maybe even 5 years into it. And I've worked with many dancers who have made shifts at that point in their career, oftentimes, maybe it's just because of the work I do with nutrition and even with body image, oftentimes these dancers are making shifts because maybe the environment just really wasn't for them. I'm just curious to hear a little bit more because I know you said that you really felt that it was time for you to explore more. Maybe you felt, I don't know if maybe it was like maybe unfulfilled, like how would you verbalize what you did feel when it was time to make a change in your professional career?
Yeah. Well, there's the one thing, and this is so, I think is really it's really difficult to really hold yourself accountable to this. But the one thing that I really try to always hold myself accountable to is that even though I am a professional, I still remain a student. And that like mentality is something that, you know, it's difficult. It's difficult because the days are long. And sometimes the class you just want to, all right, I just want to warm up and get, and sometimes you do, you have to like, we're human. Mm-hmm. We have to like really listen to ourselves. But there's something, I always want to be a student in a certain respect.
Yeah.
And so there were a few things. One of those things was me personally not feeling like I could be I could mentally be positive in where I was. It took everything out of me. That's those, you know, 8 hours a day while I was there to not just learn choreography, you know, learn technically improve every day, but to mentally tell myself that you are beautiful. Mm-hmm. You are strong. You are fantastic as you are. And like, you are going to try and be the best that you can be, not what someone else is. And that was something that I could no longer do. It just took everything out of me. Like, I felt drained. Like, yeah. I felt like a skeleton of a human, not a human there. And that was no good, honestly. And I also didn't feel like I could be a student there anymore. I felt like it wasn't a place to learn, to grow, and then to be the best dancer and person that I could be. And there was a lot of comparison. There was a lot of negativity about, not just towards me, you know, you saw, it was very clear and evident in a lot of different, towards a lot of different people in a lot of different ways. So that was just, it was time. I felt like plateau and then going under, not just, you know, this feeling of, wow, I'm either going to stop dancing professionally, go back home and train with my coaches, or I'm going to get a job somewhere else. And those were my two options at that point. So.
Yeah, two fabulous perspectives that I just want to unpack for a bit. The first is one that I've actually heard maybe for the first time in these conversations. Mind you, I've been hosting these conversations since 2020. So that's really cool to actually hear something like novel. No shade on any dancers out there that I've spoken to. I just like, if I can find something that's a little bit new and inspirational. So this idea of no matter how far along your professional track you are, to think with certain aspects that you're still a student, to keep that almost grounded perspective of what you're taking away from your environment. It's almost like, some dancers might struggle to identify whether or not the environment that they're in is right for them. So what it allows us to do is shift and explore more internally, like what are we taking away from the environment that we're in, and perhaps exploring this idea of, you know, am I continuing to learn? Am I continuing to grow even at the professional level? So I'm relating this even a little bit to my own work as at this point, a licensed clinician. I've been in this position for over 10 years, but at the same time, in so many ways and in so many realms, I feel that I'm still a student. I'm still learning about, you know, the science of nutrition. It's fluid, where it's always evolving. So having that perspective is incredibly grounding for not just me, but also for, I'm sure, many of the dancers who are going to be listening.
Yeah, it's tricky to hold on to sometimes, because, and that's normal. It, you know, consistency is beautiful, like ideal moment and structure, and you know to have that is fantastic. But you know, at a certain point, you also do have to step aside and be like, all right, I need a rest.
Yeah.
then I come back. But the idea that even that too is learning, you know, learning about yourself, learning about where your limits are, in a healthy way. And then how can you, you know, maybe as you get stronger in certain aspects, how can you push those? But like only when you're strong enough to, and then like to get to those. So yeah, consistently striving to remember that, you know, you're a student, you're still learning, like every single day. That's what that space is for. And, you know, you're not, every day is, you have this like small window of time to learn as much as you can, and to grow, because all of a sudden, I mean, honestly, especially now, I just look back and I think 10 years here since LA, like, I feel like I just joined the company and it's gone by so fast. Yeah. And everyone says it goes by so fast, like, hold on to it. And you do not realize that until it's this moment where you're like, no, 100%, that was so honest and true. Like, it goes by so fast. So, you know, making sure that, yeah, I do try and like really take every day, and even when you're a little tired, and, you know, just to kind of pull back to that, like, okay, what can I learn from like this moment right here? What can I learn from this incredible coach I have in front of me? What can I learn from my partner who's next to me? Like, how, you know, how can we learn? Even if, you know, the day is a cloudy, rainy, not so perfect day, and your feet hurt, and you're going through it. Like, what can you still like take away from that moment, no matter where you are in the career, as a student, as a professional? I think it can still be the same, you know, in a certain way.
Absolutely. And as you're speaking, this idea of, first of all, the experience of learning, and I often call this self-exploration, just in the work that I do, it's more of how we're eating, right? And how we're responding to food, and understanding what foods are working for us, what foods are not necessarily leaving us feeling energized. And what immediately comes to mind for me is what I'm working on right now, which is just all the support towards as we head into larger and often even more like indulgent holiday meals. And this idea that experiences in general with whatever we're doing, whether it's experiences in the studio with your dancing, or for my line of work, experiences with how you're eating and how you're fueling your body, these experiences ebb and flow. And we need to make space for those changes. It's so easy for dancers who are naturally more, I mean, at least I am, most dancers I speak to are, a bit more type A. We have those perfectionist tendencies in us, and we forget that we're human, and we almost sometimes think that we are striving for perfection, right? Which doesn't really exist. Or in regards to food, feeling almost like a robot. Like if one day worked out in one way, or if one holiday meal worked out in one way, it's always going to be like that, right? But understanding that all of these experiences ebb and flow, and an experience like, just because this is top of my mind right now, eating past fullness on the holidays, feeling super uncomfortable, right? And learning from that experience, taking that away, using that as a learning opportunity rather than as an opportunity to maybe just feel poorly about oneself or guilty, and instead really shifting that and taking it as an opportunity, like, what can I do differently for a future, you know, similar type of meal? So that's immediately what came to mind for me.
No, exactly. I mean, you know, there's so many lessons to be learned in moments of uncomfortableness, that like feeling of being uncomfortable, or,
right.
You know, the feeling I didn't do this right. But you know what does that even mean? Like, I right, yeah. For a moment, you know, it doesn't even matter, because at that point you're still learning something from that like situation that you're in. But no, I think that, you know, I think it's important. I mean, like, you have to, we have this like one, like this one body, this one life, like this is the moment, you know. It may seem like, I don't know, sometimes that like is overwhelming, but
yeah.
I mean, it's true. You know, if you want, you know, like to, to really like in full live and to like, you know, you have to treat your body with this wholeness. And that means being really like kind to yourself. You know, that means that if you're enjoying the holidays with your family, like fully enjoy them, like be in that moment, and try and bring yourself back to that, like, this moment, this is what I have right now. And it might not, like, this in this exact moment is not going to happen again. So if you want to, like, you know, you sit, just that sometimes like helps clear my like type A momentum. You know, and just say, like, be right here. And what does that mean? That means sitting down and eating dinner with my family and not worrying, you know, about what I'm going to feel like tomorrow, or what that you know, what that means for me going forward. It's like, this is the moment. And that, you know, it's like, you have to be wholesome with yourself. It's that can be, I mean, especially now, it can be tricky. It's like, okay, well, this worked for this moment. Why is it not working now? It's because that was the other moment. Like, that wasn't like what you're doing right now and like what this is bringing. I think that the more that I remind myself those things, like, the more centered, the more happy, like, that's the biggest thing, like, happy from like inside out, not just like, oh, I'm gonna put a smile on my face and, oh, it feels great to be with my family. Yeah, but it also, like, how are you making you happy? Like, fully, mm-hmm. fully being there in the moment, not worrying about, like, you know, eat the pie. Go crazy, you know, like, enjoy. Otherwise, you are, like, we're not robots, right? Like, right. Mm-hmm. You know, you're gonna wear yourself down. Yeah. You're really gonna wear it. And that's not good, because then you can't, you're going to look back and there might be regret there instead of fulfillment and these like moments of, wow, that was incredible what I did, can be like, you know, wow, I wish I would have. So.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it really talks to the concept of everything we do, from dancing to eating, is built around experiences in life. And for so many dancers, it's just so easy for us to hyperfixate on our technical skills in the studio, or for dancers that I'm working with, it could be really common to hyperfixate on just, again, how we're fueling our body and like the tools that we're working on with meal times and with snack times for dancing. So I'm curious to hear a little bit more from you about how, at this stage of your career, you know, the highest stage of a career, mm-hmm. how do you continue to ensure that you are staying balanced in all aspects of your life, not just in the studio?
Honestly, like, outside of the studio, that's my place to be, to kind of like take my ballet coat off a little bit. Mm-hmm. I think though that does shift. That shifts with what I'm dancing.
Yeah.
You know, what I'm working on in that moment. And so even as a student, I was, you know, I was struggling and learning and trying to understand me and how I was, what I was doing. I look back and I think, oh, I was Bambi on ice. Like, oh my gosh. But right now I think that the balance really comes from, like you said, what is working for right now might not work in 2 months, and understanding that that's okay. So, you know, last program we had, we did Jules, and this was such, the ballet is just, it's tremendous. It's really tremendous. I was dancing Diamonds Pas de Deux, and this, never in my life did I ever think that I would do that pas ever. So I was just in shock from day one. Mm-hmm. But it's something that I had to work really, really, really hard for, really hard. And so I did have a little bit less time to just come home and take my ballet jacket off. And yeah. I did have to come home and sit and, you know, scrutinize over videos of my rehearsal and take, you know, I was, you know, with my coaches, like looking at screenshots of the head, like, okay, see, the head was too low here, the head needs to be this way. So really diving like very deep into what we were doing. Mm-hmm. But that is not all the time. And so right now with Nutcracker, although yes, I come home and do homework, I think that I definitely try and set boundaries for myself, and also moments when I'm either just listening to music, reading a book, I'm, you know, sitting on the couch watching, right now I'm a big sports fan because I'm from Philadelphia, so watching football and sitting with the cats and my husband, and just sitting, you know, or spending time in the kitchen and making dinner together, and, you know, just making sure that I have those moments like checked into my head when I get home. Yeah. You know, I call my mom almost every day. I talk to my family all the time, my siblings. So to keep those things very close. And I know if I've gone 3 days without talking to my family, I'm like, nope, we got to get off of, put down the homework. we need to be grounded again.
Yeah.
And so I think that that kind of balance is something that helps me in terms of stepping outside of the studio.
Yeah.
You know, and understanding that, like, yes, you are a dancer, but you are a human first. You know, you can't be a dancer without being a human. That's just, it's just not gonna happen. Making sure that there are absolutely moments within my day that I remind myself, like, okay, let's stop, let's pause, let's like regroup, and then we can go back, and then we can go back into it, and then you can actually go back with more force because you have regrouped.
Yeah.
Versus just like running yourself down, and I think that goes for a lot of things, honestly. Mm-hmm. You know, if you just keep this all the time, it's just going to be too much. Those are my sports and books and music and my small farm that I have at home, my dog, my cats. You know, it's just keeping those things close, really.
Absolutely. And one of the biggest takeaways that I'm not sure you realize that you're explaining to us, but it is something that's extremely important that I want dancers to understand, is that oftentimes when we are so busy in the studio, like you said, there are many times where we aren't only able to work in the studio, where we do have to come home and study roles, and whether it's cross training, whatever it might be. Because of that, because of that time commitment that our dance careers, you know, it's just natural for our dancers, we have to be very proactive on making sure that we're building in some other time, or like just other types of activities. And that's what it sounds like you're doing, maybe not even realizing it, but you're just being very, the best word is proactive, in making sure, like, okay, well, tonight I'm gonna cook dinner with my husband, and it doesn't have to be anything crazy, right? It might be 10 minutes playing with your dog, or, you know what I mean, or playing with the cats, like whatever it is. Even just those little instances can really reintroduce so much grounding to us that it will further help us in the studio ultimately.
Oh, absolutely. I think that as a professional dancer, I have 100% noticed that the more experiences that I've had as a person in life, I've actually, the way that that I've been able to attack different roles has become less surface level and much deeper.
Absolutely.
And so in order to be able to do that, you have to have those life experiences. So yes, I mean, so, you know, we are so busy, you know, and especially we're like very type A, and
yeah,
you know, if if one thing goes off the rails in the schedule, it could, feel like this big train crash. Mm. And so in order for me to kind of figure out that, like, those feelings, because I mean, I still have them, like, this is just how it, how it is. And in order to make all of that work for me, it's building in and being proactive about making the time and just understanding that, all right, we know that this is what needs to happen tonight. Or when I start feeling myself, like, drained from whatever homework is, you have to close it. Mm. Just close the word. Go do something for your human self. Yep. and then come back, because that's like the heart of who you are. But yep. I don't know, I think the more that we also talk about these things and understand that, singularly you're not alone in feeling like this, I almost feel like the better it is, the more you think that, sometimes I'm the only one feeling this way, and how come I'm the only one feeling this way? It can actually, like, spiral you down instead of, helping you learn and grow. Because I definitely felt that at some points, like, why am I the only one that feels like this? And it can be a really, like, dark, like, big dark holes, quicksand feeling. And so I feel like the more that you talk about it with your peers, with a therapist, with a counselor, whoever it is, your parents, even if you feel comfortable, like, it's important to talk about this, because we all feel it. Like, we're all kind of built to feel, because of what we do and where we are, we're kind of built to feel that way.
Yeah.
And so really important to talk about it. The more you talk about it, the better. I think the more it becomes this cliche moment that you're not supposed to say anything about, then
totally,
it starts to become, feel like helpless almost. Yeah. Or more helpless.
Yeah, the conversations help to normalize all of these experiences. Honestly, this is one of the biggest reasons why I started this series years ago, was to just get voices out there, specifically professional voices, so that our younger dancers and dance students, and I even have a lot of professionals that will message me and will say, like, I just want to thank you for, bringing to light some of these conversations, because even as a professional can still feel like that. Mm-hmm. As you mentioned, we can still experience those times where we feel like, am I the only one experiencing, like, a challenged body image right now, or energy declines and all of that, which really leads me into my final question that I want to ask. I ask this to all the dancers on the series. It's a loaded question, so I just take with it and run with it. How would you redefine what it means to be the healthy dancer?
Oh, wow. This is loaded. It could go so many ways.
Yeah.
Redefine the healthy dancer. Growing up training, it was for most aspects of the training, for me, it felt that every dancer in the room had to, or was given, the same correction. Mm. And was expected to apply and perform in the same way, physically and mentally. And that, for me personally, was really difficult, because you look around the room and we're all very different. That's just it. We're not the same. Physically, mentally, emotionally, we're all very different. And so that aspect definitely created some, like, very detrimental mental and physical hurdles for me to climb for myself. All learning experiences now, I can look back and say, learned a lot, regret that, learned a lot together. Mm-hmm. So in saying that, I think that redefining the healthy dancer from the beginning, like from when we are standing there, you know, in technique class, as a student, I think understanding that you are going to not miss, you are not going to be like the person in front of you, or you are not going to be like the person behind you. You're just not. And that does not mean that you and your friend and your friend are not all beautiful, incredible ballet dancers with a ton of potential as professionals, beautiful, incredible, talented dancers with contracts, you know, in a company or with this opportunity to be a professional dancer. And I think that part of it is a healthy dancer, understanding that you are going to, you might need a different correction. You might not be able to have the same fifth position, the same posse retti, right? Like if your leg is not up here, that does not mean that you're not I guess you can't really see my hand. My hand's not up here. That does not mean that you are not a beautiful dancer. We are all not going to do 12 pirouettes.
Yeah.
We are all not going to be the same shape. That is fine. Like, this is really fine. And I think that's what, for me personally, defines like a healthy dancer, knowing that your job is just to create you in the best way you can. Yeah. Like, and what does that mean for you? Like that means that's not going to be the same as your friend next to you. Mm. It's just not. And that's totally okay. Like, that's fine. But your job is to make you the best that you can be. And try to not worry about, you know, what is going to make the person next to you the best that they can be. So maybe that's wrapped up in like a comparison thing, memo, but yeah, that was my biggest challenge, and that was my big hurdle. So personally, like, you know, just walking in the studio every day and knowing, and even now, like, that's still something that I have to remind myself every single day.
Oh yeah.
Like, we're all not going to look the same, and that is all very okay. But what's, you know, not okay is not, you know, understanding that you are beautiful, that you, you know, every day you give 110% when you can and create the best you. That's, you know, that's kind of that's the work.
I love it.
But it's easier said than done, honestly.
It is. Yeah. First of all, so I don't forget, I just have to like say, because this line came to me as you're speaking, and I think it's beautiful and it really wraps up what you're saying, but I feel like this is great. The healthy dancer embodies individuality. And had somebody told this to me 15 years ago, when I was dancing full-time, freelancing, working towards professional contracts, I think I would have flourished so much more successfully, because at that time, all I was consumed with was comparing myself from a technical ability standpoint. Just like, if I can't perfect 6 pirouettes, what am I even doing here, right? When in fact, like, if I could do a gorgeous double pirouette, like, that's me. And that's how I can define like my capability at that moment. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's beautiful. That's not going to limit me as a dancer. And I think that's so incredibly important for dancers to understand. For me, my biggest challenge is definitely the technical ability wise, right? I feel like it's so easy, especially with social media, for us to compare to what other dancers are doing. And it can really limit us and limit what we think our potential could be.
Right. Oh, absolutely. I mean, I'm the same. If, you know, I really feel like, you know, very much the same. If someone had, you know, 15, 16 years ago said, baby Melissa, do not compare yourself to other people. Like, it, like, what you have is and can be gorgeous and will be, you have to work differently. You know, like this, it's just a different way that I needed to work. And I didn't understand that because I was just trying to be like these other, you know, dancers in my class that I wish I had her legs. I wish I was taller. I wish I had better feet. I wish my legs weren't so muscular or whatever it was that was going through my head at the time. And it's just like, okay, no, sure. That's never going to be you, ever, ever.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, so how do you make what you have work? Yeah. And how do you define you, and how do I create the best me? And like that totally changed. And this is something that is honestly very recent, like the past 6 years. You know, it's still a struggle. Like I struggle. I'm on the struggle bus a lot. it actually doesn't shift one night and then you're, oh, I understand everything, I'm good, I never have to remind myself, yeah. I'm never gonna have a bad day. It's every day you still struggle, but if you there's these thought bubbles that you have to try and just like dive back into when, or at least I try and dive back into when I feel like I'm straying or I'm looking at, you know, other dancers thinking, oh, I wish I could be. And that's not going to do you any good because, you know, that's just not going to work for you. So like, you've got to find what will work. That's not to say you shouldn't be inspired by what's going on around you. Because you have to, I mean, gosh, there's just so much beauty and talent and hard work. And that should push you to try, you know, to try and push and to see how much you can do. But you have to make like, okay, this is what I'm given. I'm going to make it the best that I can and not worry if it's doesn't look like the person next to me, because that doesn't take anything away from, you know, what you have. So, but it's a constant lesson, constant struggle. But honestly, you gotta jump in for the ride and be ready.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Oh my gosh, Melissa, you have provided us with such beautiful insight tonight, really, and some new perspectives that I haven't yet heard. That, you know, I once had a teacher say that you could get the same correction, right, 10 times. All it takes is to hear it one way differently for it to click. And it's the same thing with this work. All it takes is for a dancer to hear one different type of perspective, right? Because in all of these conversations, I talk about body image, I talk about fueling our body's balance, comparisons, a comparative mindset, but all it takes is just hearing one different perspective. And if that can change the mindset for even just one dancer, then my job here is done.
Yes.
And I want to thank you for helping me do that. That was beautiful.
Thank you for having me. It was so fun talking to you.
Yes, of course, likewise. And we'll be in touch, okay?
Absolutely. Absolutely.